This is a live educational teletalk that is being recorded. The podcast is provided by Terry O'Hara, professional animal communicator, and it is the property of AnimalWise, LLC. Please do not duplicate, sell, or forward this recording. If you have any questions or comments regarding the content of this talk or animal communication, they can be directed to Terry's website at www.animalwise.com. That's www.animalwise.com. Enjoy the talk. Again, I usually start every talk by just mentioning, because there will be listeners to this call who are not on the call and will listen to it later, but the reason I've created teleclasses, I just like to mention, is to help everybody continue to keep learning about the animals that we love. As you know, I have classes. My classes obviously can't reach people all over the country, so I created these classes to be able to reach out to clients and friends and family and have anybody and everybody who wants to learn more be able to access something easy and convenient and affordable. And there's nothing like animals being our teachers, first and foremost, so I often bring through a lot of wisdom from the animals that I've learned over the many years I've been doing this, as well as the fact that it's a wonderful opportunity to have guest speakers. And when it comes to the topic of nutrition, I feel that I just know the tip of the iceberg. I know enough to guide people, and I often guide them to holistic veterinarians. And our guest speaker today, Laura DeLoach, will tell you about herself, but I do want to say that I'm not sure how long I've known you now, Laura, but I feel like a long time simply because I've sent a lot of people your way.
It's true.
How long have you been a veterinarian?
8.5 years.
Okay. So probably a good 4 years, I would think, I've known of you. Anyhow, I've sent many, many clients to Laura because she does specialize in nutrition and holistic health for the animals and have just seen her help turn around so many cats and dogs that have been kind of just, you know, thrown on prednisone by traditional vets or, you know, diagnosed irritable bowel and that's about it, and put on prescription foods. And many of these animals are young, and that's no way to live, and it's not addressing much of what's going on. So good nutrition is absolutely essential to the health and well-being of our animals, and I think this is an important topic, and I feel very honored that Laura was able to make the time to help us bring through her wisdom to all of you. And so, obviously, nutrition, when we think about what is the need for nutrition, we all know the expression, as I said in the dog talk last month, you are what you eat, and so are the animals. And it kind of amazes me sometimes how many times I hear clients say, well, they eat whatever food, such and such dry food, and they have for 8 years. Same food for 8 years. And I think, egads, I don't even like eating the same food 3 days in a row. And I feel bad for the animals because, sure, they're surviving, and some of them are thriving, and it, you know, it's not that we're starving them or anything, and I used to do this too when I didn't know any better, but animals have nutritional needs that vary, and they also have taste buds that desire more. So just the other day I was talking to somebody who rescued a dog who was starving, and this dog was then free-fed by the foster home and came to her 40 pounds overweight, a Weimaraner, 40 pounds overweight, because the foster person felt so bad for this dog that just put bowlfuls of food, dry food out. Well, now she's worried because she's not doing that. She's getting the weight off the dog, and she's adopted him. And she says, but he just goes and sits at the cupboard where the food is. Well, wouldn't you if, A, you were starving, and, B, you had an unlimited supply upon, you know, being rescued? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So there's a lot in between of, okay, so what else can we do? And so when I talked to her about variety, some vegetables in his food, some meat in his food, because all she's giving him is dry to monitor it, there's this panic in people, whether it's cats or dogs, people or whatever, about, but I don't know what to give, and I don't want them to get fat, and I don't want to offer too much, and what if I offer the wrong thing? So hopefully today's talk will help you calm down a little bit and just realize you can start in a simple place, and there's baby steps. There's simple things you could do that can make major changes in the health and well-being of your animals. And by no means are you going to be nutrition experts by the end of a one-hour talk. So as you know, there's good books out there. There's good resources out there. For those of you that are in Colorado, Laura is in Inglewood. I highly recommend you go and do a consultation about nutrition with her. Laura, do you do telephone consultations?
I do, but I really prefer to see the little creature because
okay.
I base a lot on what I see. Tongue.
Okay.
what color is it? What's it look like? What's that hair coat like?
Yes.
Just everything, and then I take that on in consideration.
Okay. So
but
another
yes,
option for
so.
People that are not perhaps in that area and would like to see somebody live, remember there's the, you can go to the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association website, and that's AHVMA.org, I believe, and you can click your zip code or something, and you can look to see about a holistic vet in your area if you don't go to one already. Okay, and also, why is the need out there for us to talk about it? Because cats can't pick and choose what their bodies are needing these days, most of the time because we're feeding them, and often they're indoor only. So if you know with your own body, you know you may have a craving. You may all of a sudden be craving apples, and one week you eat way more apples than you've eaten in a long time. Probably there's something in apples your body is wanting. It's not just your taste buds missing the taste of apples. But animals get cravings as well, and their bodies try and talk and speak out and need things as well. And the responsibility then lies on us of not necessarily to read each and every craving, but by offering a variety and offering a wholesome diet, then we are likely to be meeting the variety of needs that might come up. Now, obviously, if they're sick, they have special issues, that's going to be a little bit different, and that's where veterinarians can guide you. And to remember that cats, once upon a time, didn't eat hardly any food that we provided. They were outside. They were hunting. They were eating entire birds. They were eating entire mice. They were eating one day and perhaps not eating for another day. They were eating what their bodies were meant to do, and Laura's going to go more into that. So our jobs are to try and offer the same nutrients and perhaps similar ways of eating as much as possible so we can go with the metabolism of the cat and the digestive tract and how the cat is meant to function. So we'll go into more of that with Laura's expertise. But to just remind everybody that the more domesticated they've become, the more dependent they are on what we feed them. And unfortunately, when you look at the masses and what's happening in our country, I've been an animal communicator now for 15 years, and I have to say that 10, 12 years ago, I used to hear cats getting kidney failure from maybe age 12 to 15-ish, and now I'm hearing them get it from 7-ish and up. And many more diseases happening in animals. And I believe it's unfortunate that it has to do directly, in some cases, with the nutrition that they are getting or not getting from some of the lousy foods that are on the market. And then the positive flip side of that is, fortunately, there's a lot of holistic stores that are opening and offering more nutritious foods, et cetera. So we're very lucky to have that in most of our areas, as well as we have access to meats and different things that we can get at a store, a grocery store, and provide to our cats. So with that, I wanted Laura to talk a little bit more. And Laura, if you could just share a little bit about your story to get us started, that would be wonderful.
Sure. So hello to you all, and thanks for joining us this morning. So I started vet school a little over 10 years ago, and I just remember being inundated with tons of information, right? That's the beautiful thing about veterinary school. You learn anything and everything about all different species and about how the body works and all the intricate mechanisms and the pathways of life. And it never crossed my mind that I wasn't learning that much about how to keep those pathways or how to keep those mechanisms going. It wasn't a focus. And I must say, I didn't stop and say, wait, where's all the nutrition? I mean, yes, we did get some nutrition, but it was the basics. What's the percentage of protein that this animal needs? What's the percentage of protein this animal needs? But not too much in depth. And the funny thing was, I showed up to vet school my first day, and they said, such and such company is going to give you free food for your dog and your cats throughout the whole veterinary program. And I just thought I was the luckiest kid on the block. Like, my goodness, I don't have to buy food. Thank the Lord. So once again, I didn't stop and say, what am I feeding my creatures? And what's the best way to keep these pathways and these mechanisms going? But anyways, I soon would learn, just because like all schools, you learn much more when you get out of school and when you start practicing. And just seeing what I was seeing in practice, I just kept saying, there's something more that I'm missing here. And I feel like Western medicine, whether we're talking veterinary or human, you know, medicine is more trying to solve a cure or get a cure or solve a problem. It's not preventative. And I just kept thinking, there's got to be a better way. So I just had to start questioning, you know, who are these companies giving me free food? What am I really feeding my pets? And what am I really recommending to my clients to feed their pets? I just had to stop and say, how can I prevent these diseases? That was my bottom line. So it just seemed like I had to find another pathway. And for me, it was Chinese medicine. Chinese medicine, I started learning that about 4 or 5 years ago, and I got a lot of my questions answered, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, here's a whole structure of medicine that focuses on prevention, and it's beautiful, and at their foundation is nutrition. So I am a little slanted towards Chinese nutrition, but what I want to do today is just basically keep it simple. So exactly what Terry said. I mean, how did I make the change? I have 4 cats, so they were raised and fed free dry food ever since they were little kittens. And how did I change my cats over, and what did I see? And that's what I'd like to go into. So basically with the Chinese nutrition, it made me understand that each creature is different, and you have to take in those differences into consideration. And so now, even today, like 5 years later after learning Chinese nutrition, I push nutrition hard in every exam room, because I think that's at its at the foundation, whether we're talking cancer, whether we're talking just anxiety with creatures or with kidney disease or you name it. So needless to say, I feel that I will always be learning. So just like what Terry said, I feel the same way, even though I'm a veterinarian and I've done some extensive studying in nutrition, I still am learning. And it's amazing, I learn something every day. So, and it's funny, even with Western medicine, when they talk about cat nutrition, there's a lot that's not understood about cats. For instance, like, they don't even know what the amino acid requirements are right now. You know what I mean? They don't even know how much, really, protein a cat should be getting. They have an idea, but the specific amount, it's all kind of questionable, and they say that cats can handle starches, and they can do this, and they can do this, but it's just interesting to me. So once again, I'm going to keep it simple, and that's what we're going to focus on today. So now, Terry, I think you have some true or false business to go through, don't you?
Perfect, yes.
Okay.
So I just wanted to get you all a little bit on track with, I know you have your personal experiences in your homes or maybe other people's kitties, et cetera, but I always like to share a little bit that I've learned from cats that have spoken through me to their humans in consultations over the years, and some common true or false type statements that are made from the human when I'm checking in with the animal. The first one is, my cat is finicky. And I imagine somebody on the phone might even be smiling at that one. My cat is finicky. My cat just walks up to the food, won't eat it, and walks away. Some days it'll eat it, some days it won't. And this is usually when people are trying to get them to eat canned food and trying to get them a little bit off of dry food. And remember that, first of all, cats have instincts. And, for example, I had a client yesterday who called me. Her kitty has a feeding tube from an illness. And the cat is finally starting to eat again, which is the goal. You want to get them eating with their mouth again so you don't have to put food through their tube. Once they start eating with their mouth again, they can get the tube out. Well, she's also giving this cat a new medication that's a liquid that she's putting in the wet food. Well, the cat's refusing to eat the wet food. So she called me to say, can you tell him to eat the wet food and the medicine, because I got to get this tube out of him. He can't live with it forever. Well, first thing the cat said was, something smells funny in there, smells weird, smells bad, got to walk away. So if a cat were to walk up to a dead mouse, for example, and think about eating it, its brain would, if it smelled rot or decay or anything foul, its brain would say, don't do it, walk away. So a lot of times they are not being finicky. They're responding to what their nose tells them and what their brain tells them and what their gut says do or don't do. And so it's very hard to get medications into cats because of that very thing. They're not being finicky with meds, or they're not necessarily being finicky with their foods. They're simply not responding instinctually to what we're offering them. And instinctually, what they eat is meat. So with healthier canned foods on the market, it's really helping. But, you know, some of the cheaper canned foods, I can't stand the smell of them. So I can't imagine being a cat and walking up and going, yum, I'm just dying to dive into that and eat that. But there are some junkier cat foods on the market. We won't use brand names, but there are some that cats get real addicted to. What tricks of the trade they have, I do not know exactly, but there are some that get real addicted, and they have to learn the smell of meat, and they have to learn the smell of a clean food. So remember, if you're thinking your cat is finicky, let go of that thought and just imagine what your cat might be sensing or smelling or feeling as you are offering something new. And another is, well, he eats way too fast, and so he vomits. Well, that's usually with dry food. Most of the time, I hear that. And did you know that cats don't have molars? They weren't meant to grind anything. They don't have flat teeth in the back. They have pointed teeth to rip flesh off of bones. And so when people say, well, he barely chews it, well, he can't. They literally cannot grind back and forth. And also they'll make faces when they're eating dry food because it's hard for them to eat. Doesn't mean many of them don't love it and get addicted to it, etc. But what happens is often they're sending in big old chunks of food, and then the body is saying, excuse me, something's wrong here, too big, you know, that we have a warning, and the body sends it right back out. So I'm sad when I hear somebody say, well, yeah, my cat's a vomiter, but they do that. My vet says they do that. You know, how long has he been vomiting? Well, he's been vomiting his whole life. How long? 12 years. And that's not normal. Vomiting is not normal. Occasionally vomiting up a hairball, sure. But vomiting up food, or, you know, I've had some clients say, well, yeah, oh, probably 3-4 times a week he vomits up his food. If you could just imagine how your body would feel if you were vomiting up that often, the acids and everything, just what it would do to your body, just the gesture of the vomiting is not good. And it's also not normal. So when you think that they're eating way too fast and that's making them vomit, that's our judgment, and that's actually that's a false judgment. It's wrong. What's often happening is they're trying to just get the food down into the gut, and that's the best that they can do because they can't chew it. Also, I hear this comment, you know, well, he'll walk to his bowl or she'll walk to her bowl, and she sits there and looks at it, and gosh, she just looks like she's waiting for something better. Well, you know what? They are. They often are waiting for something better. They might be waiting for something different. They might be waiting for meat. They're often craving meat. Again, if you think about how we've changed their lifestyles, they don't get to go outside, they don't get to catch bugs, they don't get to play with mice and maybe eat it or maybe not. They don't really get to be the cats that they are fully when we have them as indoor-only kitties. And so they don't even know it. They may walk up and love their food. I've seen this many times. They love their food, they eat fine, and then the person will tell me, now they're just walking up to the same food they've loved, and they just sit there. And you know what? I just tell them, let that be okay. Let them need change. It's okay to need change. And sometimes clients will say, oh, but I try all different foods and I've given them 12 different kinds. And so when you start to panic or you start to make this urgent or you start to get upset about this, that all has energy attached to it, which can confuse the animal, which can make the animal walk away from the bowl entirely. So just say, oh, okay, I get it. Well, you haven't had fish in a while. I'll go get you some food with fish in it, or I'll go get some fish, or I'll make you some food with fish or something, and just let it be time for some change and offer new things. And if they don't like it, don't get frustrated if at all possible, because a lot of times people feel, I want to help my cat, I want to help my cat, I want to nurture my cat, I want to be the best caregiver, and he won't eat that very well. He walks away from it. So just check in with yourself and notice, what am I doing to add to the predicament of my cat not eating well? Because sometimes they are waiting for something better, and finding what that is a process sometimes, which requires patience and fun. Make it fun. Also, there's the myth out there that is, if I feed my cat canned food, then her teeth will rot. Because everybody seems to have been taught by the pet food industry, which taught the veterinarians, they got to have dry food, it cleans their teeth. I had a holistic vet tell me once, many years ago, if your clients tell you that, Terry, would you please tell them that that's like rubbing toast all over their teeth to clean their teeth? It is not cleaning their teeth. And there are new foods that are, you know, certain things, little certain crunchies, certain dry treats and such that perhaps can help. But as an overall statement of I've got to give my cat dry food or her teeth will rot, I'm here to tell you that in the 15 years I've been doing this, out of all the cats that I've talked to who've had rotting teeth, who've had many teeth removed when they've gone in for cleanings, are dry food cat people or dry food cats. So they are eating dry food. And what happens, again, when they crunch on the dry food is often little chunks of the food will get jammed up in their gums. The food has carbohydrates in it, which turn into sugars, which can start to rot, can create the plaque, can create gum disease, etc. So I tell clients it's real important for them to eat meat. And if you make chicken, then cook an extra chicken breast once in a while and give them big chunks, you know, like the size of half of your thumb, and let them chew on it. That's what they need to do. They need to chew on meat. They need to move their gums around with something that's more natural for them, not the dry food. So it is an absolute myth that I've got to have dry food in his or her diet because it's for the teeth, because unfortunately that myth has been hammered into us by vets, and I think that a lot of the vets were well-meaning when they bought that by the pet food industry. And a last one here is, well, I can't give him canned food because it gives him a loose stool. Well, remember that change is a process, and change affects the digestive tract. There are ways to work with that. There are ways to do it gradually. Laura will mention this. And there's a process going on. So one of my pet peeves, I have to say, is when I talk with a client and they say, okay, I'm going to get them off the dry food, I remind them, do this gradually, and then, you know, introduce the canned food slowly. And then the next time they call me, they say, well, we need to talk because he's had nothing but diarrhea. Well, what'd you do? Well, after talking, I just put all the dry food away and I gave him canned food and he gobbled it down and he had severe diarrhea. Well, what happened to the gradual word? What happened to the slow process? So remember, everything's a process, and I don't know if this is true from a veterinary perspective, but from an energetic perspective, if you can imagine the energy in the digestive tract, the same food going in, going through day after day after day, and then all of a sudden something new and hearty and healthy comes in. It's like the digestive tract goes, whoa, what's this? And it wakes up, and we want it to wake up. We want it to be glad something new is coming through. We want it to absorb the new nutrients. But upon wake up, sometimes there's a loose stool, or sometimes there's a process. So it's not the end of the world. And so do not panic if they all of a sudden have a loose stool. I know for my kitties, I give them liver once in a while, organic liver, and they almost always have a loose stool when I give them some organic liver. But I kind of see it like a cleanse, and they love it, and they need it, and they crave it, and I give it to them, and I don't panic about the loose stool. And it's usually for a day, and then it's gone. So, and of course, there's all kinds of definitions on loose stool. I don't mean severe diarrhea, and of course if your kitty is lethargic and all kinds of symptoms, that's not what we're talking about. But if you panic because their stool is changing, you need to stop that because it's a part of the process. And so with that, Laura's going to go into what are they all about as kitties, and what is this process that you could begin to understand and be patient with and learn and grow through.
Okay, so first of all, we'll say it a few times through this little talk this morning, but cats are carnivores. And what that means is they eat meat, period. They're strict carnivores. Now, there are a lot of carnivores in this world. They're raptors, so if you think about those little birds that fly around, and that's all they eat are the things that they grab a hold of with their talons. There are also fish, you know, the salmon, the trout. They're strict carnivores as well. And then there are also swine. Swine are supposed to be carnivores, believe it or not. So you kind of think about carnivores, and they're supposed to be fed meat. Now, some of these carnivores have adapted. Some cannot adapt. And cats have a hard time adapting to eating other stuff. There's tons of research out there that you can pull up, and you will get bogged down with nutrition research because one article will say this, and another one will say that. So I just beg you guys to think simple and think a cat is a carnivore. What is it like to do? It likes to hunt. So cats, all cats are descended from the African wildcat, and they ate five different things. They only ate rodents, small mammals, lizards, insects, and birds, and that's it. That's all they did. They didn't fish. So I want you to think about a mountain lion. Have you ever seen a mountain lion fish? Have you ever seen one going into the stream to get fish? No, it just doesn't happen. But why do cats love fish? Because they do. It's just like us. Why do we love pizza? Because we do. So we'll go into that a little bit more later, too. But because of this, it would make all our lives much easier if we could walk into Whole Foods and buy a can of crickets and a can of butterflies mixed maybe with a little mouse or, you know, something like this. I know it sounds absolutely terrible, but goodness gracious, it's the best thing. We could feed our cats. I just wish one of these companies would wake up and realize what cats are supposed to eat. And I do feel like there's a change. There's a lot of change going on in these companies. You see a lot more dry foods that are coming out as higher protein because they're all trying to get on the bandwagon. So back to the food. So first of all, the cats out in nature, they hunt, and they will hunt 1 to 2 times a day. But I want you to think about your cats. And if they are given free choice food, how often do they go to their food bowl? Maybe you guys aren't home all day long, but there's been studies that show 20 to 25 times a day a little kitty will go up to his food bowl, take a little bite, and walk away. And they get used to that. They love having this open food bowl that they can just go and eat at the buffet anytime they want. But it's not natural. Okay, it's completely against nature. Now, because they're supposed to eat only once or twice a day in out in the real world, their bodies should go through a natural fasting period. And I don't mean fasting for days like what people can go through or what dogs can go through. We have the ability, and dogs have the ability, to go for a very long time without food. We can actually start producing glucose from different reserves in our bodies, but cats cannot do this. So needless to say, I'm talking a very short fast, but during this fast, their pH in their body changes. And because of that change, then we see less problems with urinary tract. I don't know if you guys have had a male cat. This also can happen to female, but because of the male's anatomy, we see more issues, more male cats coming in with urinary tract problems. They can block, if you've ever heard of that. In other words, they cannot urinate. They can get stones. They can get cystitis, which is inflammation of the bladder, and it's almost always because of the diet. I think 100% time, 100% of the cases, it's because of diet. We are what we eat. Now, that's one thing. So I encourage you all, we'll get to how you can start making changes, but think about how often you feed your cats or how often the cat can come and feed from the food bowl. The next topic is carbohydrates. Now, here comes some of the crazy research, but it actually, many research papers out there say that cats can tolerate 35% of carbohydrates and over 40% of their diet as carbohydrates. They'll get maldigestion. In other words, they'll get vomiting, diarrhea, they'll get gas, they'll get bloating, they just feel uncomfortable, they'll start vocalizing, they'll even get hyperglycemic. Now, that means diabetes. Now, 35% of cats Cats can tolerate 35% of carbohydrates with no problems. However, I think this is where you could throw in the fact that, you know how some cats, they can thrive really well on dry food. They don't get fat. Their hair coat doesn't turn to, you know, dry and dull and nasty looking. Their teeth don't get bad. And you question, what in the heck? How is my cat still doing so well on dry food? I think it's just that small handful that can do okay. It's like a human. They can, you know, many people can go and eat McDonald's every day and their cholesterol doesn't change and they don't get fat and whatnot, and you have no idea how that person can do it and the next person can't. So I do think there are some cats out there that break the curve, and that maybe is their ability to adapt to a certain degree, but most cats, and we're talking about the majority here, cannot tolerate that many carbohydrates. Now, a dry food, just to make a kibble in itself, requires so many carbs, period. That's all you got to say about that. So even the new foods that are coming out as saying that they're high protein, low carbohydrate, they're still carbs, okay? So keep that in mind. So ideally, my goal would be to get your cats, if they're fed a dry food, on to something a lot more palatable, something that's much more healthier. Okay, so first of all, I want to go into labels, all right? You're walking into the supermarket or your veterinary clinic or your little local healthy pet store and you pick up a label and you want to know what in the heck this means. And I'll be honest with you, once again, labels are flippin' confusing. There's no other way to say this. They try to trick you, and they try to trick us. They, and us meaning the veterinary world, period. So I'm going to break it down as easy as I can. There are two parts to a label, okay? There's the display panel and the information panel. The display panel is that first thing that a customer sees. It's what says, this is beef dinner, da-da-da-da-da, and the maker, okay? So that display panel, that front little section, is simply to grab your interest. That's it, period. It's just to get you to pick it up and say, hey, maybe my creature will like this. And they really try to gear everything towards you and what you think is good. Okay. The next part, the information panel, is what the ingredients are. Okay. Now, the ingredients are listed as most to least. Now, this is where it gets very confusing. So just because the number one ingredient is the most, be very, very careful. You don't know if it's been packaged when it's in the wet form or dry matter form. Okay. The next thing is these companies will break down products into simple, how should I say, individual ingredients. Like you'll see wheat germ or wheat bran and then wheat flour. And they individualize them so it makes it look like they're smaller amounts. Well, guess what? It's all wheat. So that's something you have to pay attention to. Now, in every little resource that I could ever find about nutrition, it is very interesting because it actually says, word for word, that a person, a consumer, cannot rely on the reputation, it says that you must rely on the reputation or word of the manufacturer to assess the nutritive value of the safety of ingredients. It's pleasant, huh? Really made me feel good. So with that said, I guess there are a few things that we can look for. One is, what is the protein? Okay, is it fish-only based? If it's fish-only based, I would stay away from it. Once again, cats are not supposed to be fed fish, okay, not strictly fish. It's wonderful. It's a nice palliative thing to start a cat on, and once again, we'll get back to that. But look at your protein source. Are you feeding your cat only beef? Are you feeding your cat only chicken, only turkey? What is all added in there? Is there corn in there? There's no cat, I don't believe, ever that should be fed corn, you know? So just read the ingredients and try to familiarize yourself with what's in that can or in the bag of food if you're doing dry. And the next thing, just to make you wary of, if that display panel, that little front panel that gets your attention, if it reads beef dinner or beef platter or beef entree, you know what this means? All these three things mean that only 10% of the total product is beef. Kind of fun. All right, so now I want to make you aware of a couple of things. So first of all, the sneaky ways about the, you know, saying the simple ingredients and actually it's all the same ingredient, pay attention to that. And then the next thing is TVP. Do you guys know what that is? I think it's texturized vegetable protein, and really it's soy protein. And what they do is they add this to a lot of foods in its dry matter form, so it's going to be lower on the list, but when you add it to water, I don't know if you guys have eaten TVP, but it's actually kind of delicious, but it's not something you want to be feeding your cat or, you know, or your creature to all the time. And what it does is it absolutely expands, and that's a big filler. So kind of just pay attention to that. I mean, everything in moderation, I think, is just fine and dandy, but that's the biggest thing is moderation. The next thing is byproducts. I think byproducts, they're good and they're bad. And I have to say, I have to hold on to this premise because byproducts, the name of it has been set because of what it is to humans. Okay, so a byproduct you can think in two different categories, liver, kidney, and lungs. I mean, just organ meats, they're considered byproducts. No kidding. So these are very nutritious, and that's the truth. I mean, cats out in nature eat organs. period. They get vitamin A from them. They get many other nutrients from these organ meats. But guess what else are byproducts? Udders, bones. But bones are kind of good, but we'll skip over that. But like connective tissue, they're not getting any nutritious value from that. So you kind of have to see byproducts and kind of go, okay, well, which ones are they? You know what I mean? So once again, just another little confusing thing, but I just want to make you guys aware of that, okay? So don't get so scared when you see byproducts, because the way that companies are classifying it is for us. We're not supposed to be eating organ meat, or so they think. Okay, so now where to begin? I guess I'm just going to start with a little personal note on how I began. My four cats were raised on dry food, and when I first started learning that they shouldn't be fed dry food, I thought, are you kidding me? That's not what I was taught in veterinary school. You know, how could they be wrong? Well, they're wrong, totally wrong. So the first thing I want you to do is to breathe deep and literally say everything is going to be okay. Cats are finicky, period, just like what Terry said. But there are many ways around everything that you're going to be that's going to be thrown at you, okay? And I just want you to talk to your little creatures and tell them it's okay and you're just trying to make some changes to make them a little bit healthier. All right, so you start slow, and it's all about baby steps. So the first thing that I would recommend is to start feeding time feedings. So if you're doing dry food and you have free choice going on right now, I want you to start changing that and do morning and night feeding. And I want you to do that for a week or so, if not 2 weeks, and just get that little creature used to only getting food twice a day. The next thing is, or I guess I should back up, I want you guys to expect no immediate changes overnight. They're cats, okay? And let's be honest, they do kind of control us to a certain degree, but you have to talk to them and tell them what we're trying to do here, all right? We're just trying to make them a little bit healthier, or a lot more healthier, what am I saying? And you're just trying to do it for their good. So think that it's going to take time, okay? And don't expect anything overnight. So first, start to feed time feedings. The next thing is I want you to go and get some canned food. Do not buy a case of any one type of food because you will be frustrated and you'll be cussing out my name and probably Terry's too. But you just buy a couple selections of food. And I, right at this point, I don't care if you're buying the, forgive me for my language, the crappiest food off those shelves, because the reason why those crappy foods, cats like them, they're higher in carbohydrates. They actually will put gravies in the food. Gravies are carbohydrates. They put flour in there. So a lot of times cats will go on to those nasty foods before they'll go on to the healthier foods. So I want you to think of starting to feed your cats like Atkins diet, okay? Higher protein, higher fat. A cat, being a carnivore, should be fed really high protein, 30 to 45% dry matter weight. And there's a huge range there, again, because they don't really know. And they should have moderately high in fat, very low in carbohydrates. They should have essential vitamins and minerals. And out in nature, they would get those vitamins and minerals from the skeleton. They would consume that skeleton or most of it. They start at the head and they work their way down. So meat is wonderful to start with too, but you got to keep in mind that vitamins and minerals are wonderful. So that's why I always just try to steer people towards canned food, because it's kind of hard when you're starting out switching your cats from a dry matter food to something more natural to worry about all the vitamins and minerals and the fatty acids that they need too. Okay? So just speaking of going from dry food to canned food, you get whatever kind of food that catches your eye out there on the shelf, okay? You bring them home, and I want you to start offering them as a treat. Just tell your creature, hey, I got a little something extra for you. Don't take away that dry food. Number one thing you got to know is you don't want a cat not to eat. So even though I talked to you about a cat should be fasted for a certain amount of time, it's a short period of time. You do not want to take up his food and say, if you don't eat this, I'm not giving you anything else, okay? So start to offer the canned food as a treat. Leave his dry food down there. I'd like to think you can heat it up just a touch. I don't like microwaves too much, but you can heat it in the microwave for like 10, 15 seconds. Room temperature is the best. Cats are very temperature sensitive. They don't want things out of the refrigerator. Okay, so really take that into mind. They're very texture sensitive. They eat flesh. So you can imagine, they don't like sticky things. They don't like cold things. So keep that in mind. And also, cats do like fat. They love chicken fat. So if you are making like a chicken soup or cooking chicken or whatever, that little chicken fat, like cut off a little piece like what Terry says and leave the fat on it. Mix it with that canned food and see if you can get them a little bit interested in that canned food. Another little trick is you can get baby food. Now, baby food is... it's not something you want to feed your cats for the rest of their lives, okay? It's, how should I say, it's a cheating method, okay? And there's nothing wrong with cheating when you're trying to get cats on a canned food or onto a better diet. So get some baby food, whether it's turkey or beef or whatever you want, and you can mix it with the canned. The other thing is chicken broth. Cats prefer chicken over beef, just FYI. It's probably like the fact that you would never see a cat take down a cow, I guess, but you can kind of think of it that way. But they do eat rodents like rabbits, so there are some foods out there that you can get canned rabbit. That might be an idea, or canned quail. Cats prefer that too. When I was switching my little creatures over, I think I ate tuna fish for a month, and that's no lie. And yes, I don't believe in feeding cats fish all the time, but again, it's an easy way, or I shouldn't say easy, it's a nice way to get cats to hopefully get onto the canned food. I would squirt the tuna juice onto the canned food that I wanted them to eat, and I ate tuna, literally, I think twice a day for a month. And when you're switching cats over, you might want to start to offer that canned food three times a day in small amounts. Okay, like maybe an ounce or 2 ounces at a time. And if they don't want it, some people will even mix canned food with dry food. But that can be tricky because then you're going to have a cat that picks out the dry food. I believe in feeding them separate. You know, offer him the dry and the canned. Or you offer the canned first and then give him his dry food. But either way you do it, don't stress him out or her out. You want that little creature to know food is coming and I'm not being starved. Okay, and that it's not a stressful thing, it's a wonderful thing. So remember the chicken broth, the crappy food that I call it, the ones with the gravies, the baby foods, and any type of meat that you're eating, offer it. There's nothing wrong with that, even deli meat. And once again, these are things you do not want your cat to be eating on a regular basis every day for the rest of its life, but for the time being, it's perfect. Okay, and then the other thing is you slowly wean off that dry food. You start taking it away once they start going on to the canned food or the meat or the baby food. As they get stronger onto that food, then you slowly wean off that dry food. Now, don't get frustrated. They will turn up their nose most of the time, but make sure the temperature is right. That's the biggest thing I think is true. There are many raw foods out there. I get a little wary with raw foods with a lot of creatures because if their bodies can't handle it, in other words, it takes energy to process foods. If you're feeding an already cooked food that's warm, it's so much easier on the digestion. Like energetically, it's easier for them to take it in and process it and get the nutrients from it. But you can try raw food, okay? In many cases, some cats do much better on raw food than cooked food, okay? I'm just throwing that out there. I won't go into raw food too much. But you can try those raw foods that you can purchase out there in the little, you know, the Wags and Wagons, or I shouldn't say names, but needless to say, the little fancy boutiques that sell the good foods. And I just encourage you to bring that up to room temperature. I usually make a cup of tea for myself, and then I pour the boiling water just slightly over so I blanch the little medallion or the little chunk of raw meat that I'm giving my creatures. And my kitty cats love this stuff. They absolutely love it. One is a little less inclined than the other three, but I must say they just absolutely love that pure raw meat. So that's something to think about too. Now, looking at kittens, cats, adults, and seniors. No matter what you have out there, I still would start the same way, okay? Thinking back again from the Atkins point of view, it's high protein, moderately high in fat, very low in carbs, no matter what age we're talking about. And actually, research has shown for the senior cats, they consume less food, and so therefore, the food that they're eating, it better be really high in energy. And what's the highest energy? High protein, high fat. So that has to be taken into consideration. Now, kittens, I do honestly tell my clients, still offer some dry food every so often. They eat so much more frequently than an adult cat, and they just need more. And it's just much easier to give them a high energetic food, and I must admit, dry food is very high in energy. You know what I mean? It's just packed full. It is carbohydrates, but it's just for when they're kittens. So that you can definitely do when they're kittens. And I think that's about all that I have. And then for starting, do you have anything else to add to that, Terry?
Actually, yes, perfect on what you just mentioned with the kittens and dry food. I know that some heads are out there probably thinking, yeah, but what if they get addicted to the dry food? Because there are so many cats that once they get on the dry food, they become very addicted to it. So what you're saying with the kittens is, and this, of course, is often for people who have to go to work all day long and aren't able to give them more food, but if they are able to feed them more often, should they just give them more of the raw or more of the canned or whatever they're feeding them, just feed them more frequently?
Yes, but it seems like those little kittens, they just need more. So I don't have any problem with leaving down some dry food while they're gone, as long as they do time feedings with the canned food. Now, a kitten is not as addicted, should I say, to the carbohydrates as adults. Mm-hmm. So when you're changing a kitten over, it's really easy. They usually go right onto it. It's like their instinct tells them that they should be on the canned food. So I recommend feeding kittens twice a day, the canned food, 2 to 3 ounces twice a day, and then offering the dry food all day long. You don't have the problems with the fasting and the urinary issues mm-hmm. in kittens as you do as an adult. So after they hit like 4 to 5 months of age, start to slowly pull away that dry food. Like only give them a few crunchies now and then, you know, after a couple weeks, pull it away completely.
Okay, and when do you feel people should start offering dry food? Because I know a lot of times people will have kittens that they get so young these days from the shelters, and I've had, you know, when I tune into some of them, their digestive tracts aren't really able to break down dry food yet because they've barely been weaned off of mom. So what do you recommend when they're really young and when to start introducing dry food?
That's true, because when they're really young, I mean, they still have that lactulose capability. I think it starts to wean off of them like around 7 weeks of age. So, yeah, they don't have the little villi in their intestines to actually process the starch that, you know, adult cats can process, believe it or not, they can. So I would say, like, if they're really young, they need to be only on, like, a slurry of high nutritious canned food or, you know, the supplements, the food supplements. I think there's quite a few companies that put those out there. So when to offer the dry food? Probably like after 9 weeks of age, 10 weeks of age, I would guess, because after they go from milk to the canned food or replacement foods to dry food, I would think their villi can probably handle it after 9 or 10 weeks of age. And I'm not talking that's their primary food, by no means. These are kittens that are on the canned food that are just getting supplemental crunchies.
Sure, makes sense. Perfect. Yeah. Okay, and so I'm going to go into questions that were submitted beforehand, since you've covered everything, and thank you, excellent job. So we'll go into the questions. I have a couple of them here, and then we will open up the questions to those that are listening. So the first question is, for a cat with kidney disease, what is the best diet? This is what the person wrote. I had heard low-protein diet is best, but if cats have evolved eating meat, then how is low-protein, how does that make sense? We feed our cats wellness grain-free, and his kidney numbers have actually gone down, but we are going against the vet's advice. So what is the best thing to do for chronic kidney kitties?
Fun question there, and that's a huge ball of wax. Is that the correct saying? I'm not so sure. But each cat with kidney failure is different. And that's the truth. I mean, kidney failure is definitely on the rise. It's unbelievable how much kidney failure cases we see.
Mm-hmm.
And it all depends, and I don't mean to be vague, but I got to be vague, because it depends on what's causing that kidney failure. If that kidney has tons of protein being lost in those renal tubules, in the urine, you have two schools of thought out there. One is, if that cat is breaking down its own protein, then it's going to get really, really skinny, and you better be supplementing protein, or else that cat is going to waste away to nothing. The other school of thought is that protein is actually causing, it's destroying those renal tubules, so you should decrease the protein intake. So it all depends. One, does your cat have high blood pressure? If your cat has high blood pressure, that's about the one good reason I can think of that I would decrease protein content in my cat if he had kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because protein is going to cause or increase high blood pressure. But kidney failure, you got to supplement protein, and you can't go as low as many of these commercial diets out there. So usually what I tell people is I will feed a moderate pH-based food for that cat, and it would be like in an early stage renal failure. That's kind of a catchy little phrase on some of these companies' foods for kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
They have advanced, they have moderate, and they have early. And I do early, and I supplement in with canned food. Well, no matter what, I'm still feeding canned food. If I choose that food, I'll do canned food and supplement it with occasional raw or occasional meat or occasional other type of food, such as wellness or another type. And then I monitor those kidney values, because different cats will react to high protein differently. So it all depends. Is your cat overweight? Is your cat very skinny? Is your cat have other health concerns? So it's a very delicate situation, but I agree. I don't limit that much protein unless it's an extreme case of high blood pressure with kidney failure.
Okay, good. And then I would also just add to that that sometimes for those that are listening, if you have a 15-year-old or an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old, and they're very much so elders and they're getting ready to transition in the near future, and they want meat instead of that prescription food, that's your call. You know, you do what you do for quality of, you do what you decide, I mean, for quality of life. I mean, obviously go with the veterinarian, but it's very important sometimes for us to realize, I know with my elder doggie that passed last year, he was really into, and he was on a raw meat diet and all of that his whole life, and really good food, but towards the end, he wanted rotisserie chicken, and that was it. I didn't worry about supplements. I just, you know, towards the very end, last few weeks, gave him what he wanted. So sometimes there is that fine line of what do they need and what do they want if they're getting ready to transition soon.
Absolutely. I think that would be my biggest goal as a veterinarian, is all about quality of life. I mean, if your little creature will not eat those foods that we even recommend, I mean, what are you supposed to do, starve them? No, you feed them what they'll eat, period.
And is there, for when I know there's a lot of clients out there that do work with traditional vets and they do have their cats on prescription foods for a variety of reasons, not just kidney. My biggest concern when I tune into the animals as an animal communicator is they're nutritionally starving.
Totally.
The prescription food might be taking care of the problem at hand, but I feel like they're nutritionally lacking. And so is there a supplement, not that you need to name a brand, but like, do you typically say to people, yes, I would get a good vitamin mineral supplement going so we can keep them on this prescription food for a while just to complement the food?
Absolutely, but I'll tell you, just the prescription diets alone, I think they do starve them.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I think a lot of companies have now come out with that advanced, moderate, and early. And the early is so close to a normal diet, as long as they're on the canned food, that it's much better. But you know the biggest thing that I recommend for cats with kidney failure is feeding your creature kidney. I know that sounds crazy, but you go and you get organic or free-range beef, if you're buying beef kidneys. And if you want to buy pork, you can too, but you feed them that a couple times a week, because the Chinese medicine believes, or one of the philosophy is, if you have a weakness in one of those organs, you need to feed them that organ. So kidney, I believe, is huge with these little kidney failure creatures, but I always supplement them with either different, there's many companies out there that do supplements for kidneys, i.e. like Standard Process, there's Thorn Research, there's tons out there.
Right.
So, yeah, it just all depends, once again, on what is going on in that kitty. But for sure, they are starving. And if they're on that advanced diet, they're protein starved. Mm-hmm. They're just breaking down their own
muscle. Nutritionally starved and protein starved. Yeah, it's really hard to see that happening. Okay, question number two here is, why do cats love dry food so much? And you did mention this some. We'll see if you have any more comments. This person wrote, my cat loves his dry food and doesn't eat the wet that much. What is so great about dry food, and how do you get them to eat the wet, which you did address already, besides taking away the dry? But let's just say a little bit more about why do they love their dry food so much?
Well, one, I think there's something going on in that brain. There's just a little sweetness that ticks off that brain that says, yum. Now, out in nature, like the lions would actually push with their mouth and their foot and get rid of the ingesta out of the intestines and out of the stomach. They wouldn't even eat it, unlike a dog that goes straight for it. But there's still that little bit that satisfies cats, and I think it's just like us. We get a little bit of a bagel, and my goodness gracious, like, it's not nutritious and at all for us, but yet we absolutely love it. So it's just like with people, we love our pizza and our bagels and our whatever, but it doesn't mean it's good for us. So, yeah, a cat loves carbs. They also love fish, but it's not what they're supposed to eat.
And will they get sugar cravings just like people will? I mean, with a lot of carbs in their diet, do they peak and get sugar cravings during the day like humans will?
Absolutely. Of course they can. Yeah, and especially it's all based on habit, too. Like, how were they raised? And, you know, a cat that's fed on canned food their whole life or raw food, they're not going to have those same sugar cravings. So it's all based on what they were fed for how long.
Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. Okay, so we're going to go into questions from those of you on the call. So if somebody would like to ask a question, remember, unmute yourself, do *6. And say your name first. It takes, I think there's a bit of a pause if you do the *6, so give it a pause, and I'll let you know if I hear you.
Yeah, I have a question. This is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie, okay.
And hi, I don't know if you can say this, but I'd be interested to know the brands that you really think are the best.
We're not going to go into brands for a variety of reasons, but... you know, more importantly would be ingredients. So, Laura, is there anything that you would like to say if we're not looking at specific brands that you would say to a big blanket answer to that?
Oh, goodness. I love my list of brands. You know, I think the biggest thing is going to one of those little mom-and-pop shops, and you're going to learn more about nutrition than you will any veterinary clinic or PetSmart. The biggest things you want to stay away from, like if you see propylene glycol in a food, don't go near it. You know what I mean? Like there's some additives that you should just stay away from. If there's corn, stay away from. You just want a high-quality protein, a good quality protein source. And, you know, carbs are okay as long as it's not in excess. Like, some carbs are okay. Quinoa is wonderful, high in protein. It's not necessarily what I'd want to feed a cat, but if you see some carbs, don't get too scared. If you see blueberries, don't get scared. You know, some things actually are providing another, nutritiously or trying to equal out another source. Like in Chinese medicine, you look at the hot and the cold energetics of food, so quinoa can even out some of the richness of protein. So just don't get wary if you see some carbs in your food, but I would say go to one of those mom and pop shops and you're going to learn a heck of a lot more about nutrition and different kinds of brands. Is that the safest thing to say? I would love to give you names, but I'm going to stay away.
That's perfect. Well, and also not everybody can access the different brands that we get, but
totally.
Yeah, we're just careful with that. Okay, and is there another question?
Hi, this is Gail. Can you hear me?
Hi, Gail, yes.
I read sometimes a holistic cat digest that's on the internet, and some of the people there purchase and feed, and this, I think this might be gross a little bit, but I'll say it. It's they purchase and feed like little baby mice, frozen mice, and thaw them, or baby chicks. And I was wondering, do you see that as a good treat or as a food source?
Terry, you want to go there? You want me to go there?
You can go there.
Well, it's not a treat. That's their food. And unfortunately, it's terrible. I can't imagine buying little creatures and feeding them. I wish my four little creatures would just go out and feed, and then I wouldn't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? I can't say that a dead mouse or something like that, they'll find it palatable, but I mean, I still will say go buy some organ meat, go buy some regular meat, go buy gizzards and feed your creatures. So it's about the same thing. Yeah. So good treat. It's really a good meal. You just got to make sure you heat it up.
Okay. I just did a consultation yesterday with a woman that's raising her cat on that. And that's actually the first time I've heard it described the way she did. She buys rats, she buys chicks, she buys mice, and she'll give the cat a rat. And the cat, she says, eats absolutely every part of the rat.
I believe it.
And she's got a very healthy, very happy cat. So it is hard. I don't know that I could do it. I just don't think I could watch that over and over again. But that's my stuff. But yes, I know Gail was out here visiting, and I know you went home with some dried mouse that you got at the natural pet supply store here. And I remember you wrote me and said how much your cats liked it. It was a treat. It was just one little piece. But yep, that is what they want to eat. So
that's
whatever
true.
We can do, they will usually appreciate it. Now, if you got somebody that's addicted to a junky canned food or a junky dry food or both, and you walk up and hand them a mouse, they may look at you like you have absolutely flipped your lid. And
no,
even if
kidding.
You say, but that's what you're supposed to eat, that would be like, I remind my clients that, you know, if you come from a family where you ate a lot of junk food and canned food and fast food and all this, and someone came home one day and said, guess what, we're going to have veggies and rice and salads from now on, you would say, what? I mean, it's just because we get all this knowledge today doesn't mean your cats are ready for it. So make sure you go, like Laura said, and talk to them and explain it to them. But if your sense is that your kitties would like some more mice or mice parts or something, and you can do that, do it. And if you can't do that, then know that they're probably wanting more gizzards and organs and such, like Laura says, and offer that.
And another thing, I didn't quite explain this a little, I'm going to just mention it again, but when you're transitioning from dry food, I said dry food to canned food to raw food, but some cats will go immediately to raw food. My four had they didn't even want to go near raw food. They thought I was absolutely a nutball. So I had to go to the crappy can, to good can, and then to the raw. And then I'll even mix raw with canned. So just FYI, I mean, some cats are different. You might get them straight on to something, and then you jump up and down, and you giggle because your cat is not in the norm.
And okay. I loved what you said about they do rule us a little bit, because you may find that they say, yippee skippy, I'm loving these mice, and then you offer one day with a smile on your face, and they look at you like, what'd you put that in my bowl for? And
totally.
So they do have the right, they believe, to change their minds and to not explain why. Because I have a lot of clients say, could you tell me why my cat doesn't want mice anymore? And the cat will say, I don't. I just don't. And so there's not always reasons. So we got to go with the flow with our kitties. Is there another question out there?
Could I ask another question?
We're going to let somebody else go first unless there's nobody else. That's okay. Who else said something? Maybe it was two of you talking. I thought it was two of you talking. Was that Gail asking, can I ask another question?
Yes, it was, but I muted myself because I was babbling. Sorry.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Dee.
Hi, Dee.
I have a cat that I got as a kitten. He is now about seven years old. And the first hour after he was home, he had three seizures. And, you know, obviously, I was not going to take him back to where I got him from because I knew they would just put him down. And so I called the vet I used to work for, and her immediate just gut feeling, she said, what have they been feeding him? And it was a high carbohydrate diet. And so she said, get him on some protein. And I did that, and it didn't seem to help much. The thing we found, we ran tests on him. We ran the liver test to see if something was wrong with the liver. We ran, you know, tests on him, and I just started documenting when he had the seizures, and they always were when he got startled or excited. So we assumed from that he was hypoglycemic, and when he would have a seizure, I would give him a little bit of honey or corn syrup, and it would pull him right out of him. He's better with them now as an adult, But when he's banging on his food dish, I better feed him, or he will collapse in a seizure. I understand that the raw foods, you know, the raw meat would be probably a help to him. He does not, when I put up chicken, like chicken skins or the chicken fat when I'm making my own chicken, he does not like to eat that. Would he be better with it cooked?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't feed any raw chicken skin. That kind of makes me kind of, unless you're getting it from a really good source. But fat is hard to process. If he's going hypoglycemic, you need a quick energy source. So he's
right.
A cat that I would think would be, he would do really well on a little bit of canned food twice a day, to be honest with you. And pumpkin, that slows, that's a little bit higher fiber and keeps, or even sweet potato for that matter, it can keep, how should I say, the glucose levels at a much regular rate, and you probably want to do time feedings for sure. But fat, that's not a quick energy source, but I would say definitely cook chicken skin. Anything
okay.
on that, Terry? Would you have
yeah.
anything to say?
Yeah, no, that's good. And also it's just good to know that in general, too, because there are some people out there that don't want to deal with raw, and you know what? That's okay. If you can't deal with raw and that's too hard for you, that's okay. But there's also, I have some clients who are vegans, and I say, you know what? You just can't expect your cat to be vegetarian. You simply can't, or you will be contributing to the illness, if not the death, of your kitty. So do what we can, you know, do first and foremost. Like if you can't serve a mouse, then don't serve a mouse, serve organs. And if you can't serve raw meat, then at least offer canned meat, or find somebody else in the household that doesn't mind dealing with it. Like for me, my kitties eat raw and canned, and they love eating first thing in the morning. Personally, I can't deal with raw food first thing in the morning. I have to have my cup of tea, stretch a little, wake up before I can reach for the raw food. And since one of my kitties came to me very addicted to dry food, they get literally a tablespoon of dry food as a snack first thing in the morning, high protein dry food, and then they get their protein, because I work from home, so I have the luxury of then giving them their meat and their meal in like an hour and a half or so, because that's just me, and I can't deal with raw. I told them I can't deal with raw first thing in the morning. So sometimes I'll give them canned, sometimes a little bit of dry, which is a treat for them, but it's very controlled, because I have one of those kitties that I know if he had a whole bowl full of food available to him, he'd be huge. I just know it. He's never had that opportunity with me, but I know it. And my last kitty, when I didn't know any better years ago, was diabetic, and I'm pretty sure I contributed to his diabetes with his diet before I knew any better many years ago. So I tell my kitties when they move in with me, here's the scoop. You're not going to get much dry food, and you're not going to get junk food. You're going to have to follow my rules. So get adamant out there. As you are making your changes, I would encourage everybody to, you know, just let them know this is what you're doing and why you're doing it for them. Do it gently. Let them have input. You know, work with an animal communicator if you want to or need to, in order to help them understand and to get any feedback from them on how the process is going. And allow them the opportunity to fluctuate a little bit. I don't like diets. Nobody really likes diets. Nobody likes being forced to eat certain things. So just do it gently and let them be a part of the process is how I would wrap up here on all the stuff that we're talking about. They do rule us in many ways, but at the same time, they love to cooperate, too, if we just talk with them and explain everything to them. And Laura, did you have any final comments that you would like to say for everybody?
I don't. I don't. Hopefully everything is clear and easy, though, for y'all.
And do you have any books or references that you do like a lot, that if they do want to go and learn more and don't have a holistic vet in their area but want to get more educated, anything in particular you think is a good resource?
Oh, goodness. I should have done some research on getting names for you all, but I don't. I think the Internet is such a great resource. I think you just Google, and if you want to go the route of Chinese nutrition, do that. If you want to just go the route of just cat nutrition, I'm sure you can find tons of sources out there on the Internet. I think I'd start there.
Okay, good.
Unfortunately,
just in case you had a favorite book or something.
I don't.
Okay, yeah. I usually tell people the exact same thing because there is a lot of good information out there. I encourage people to be careful with a lot of the chat rooms or that are not monitored in any way, and it's just a bunch of people with their opinions. I feel that you can get off track on some of that, but if it's a book and a reputable author and a trained veterinarian and all of that, then you're pretty darn safe. OK, Okay, so I just want to remind everybody that next month the topic is going to be helping your elder animals. If you do not have elders in your life, you will have them become elders at some point. And for those of you that do have elders in your life, you know how things do change with how we care for them and what they need and how to prepare for their transition and then how to help them through their transition. So I will be doing that talk on October 11th. I did have on the website that it was possible I was going to invite a guest speaker, but I've decided I have enough content to do all that myself. I work with elder animals as an animal communicator and death and dying all the time. So when I first created my list a year ago, I put that on there in case I felt like I wanted to pull somebody in, but you'll be hearing from me on that topic. And I welcome all of you to please join that. And remember, anybody is welcome to join these talks. Thank you all very much for attending, taking the time on your Saturday morning. Laura, thank you, busy person that you are with your Chinese medicine schooling and your veterinary practice, et cetera. So thank you for taking the time for all of us today and for sharing your wisdom.
My pleasure.
I appreciate everybody being here. Have a wonderful Saturday. And remember, have fun helping your animals eat healthy.